We have been speaking a lot from John chapter 15, and the joy of our Heavenly Father pruning us, and it's so, so profound. And Yvonne, do you want to share, because a lot of people think pruning is very negative, and they hide because it's like this ugly thing. Maybe Yvonne, if you want to share, I haven't asked you, but if you wanted to share about how you just begin to understand a different understanding of pruning, because a religious mindset sees it differently than sonship. And that's, please, yeah. Yes. Amen. Thanks. But it's vital because a lot of folk will see it as a very negative thing. But it's life-giving. It's to know Him more and more. And it's awesome. Good. So, Father, thank You for pruning us. What a privilege, because being Your child, within us is this deep desire to honor You, a deep desire to see Your name glorified. And anything that's tripping us up, we embrace the way that You share and You prune and You give revelation and how Your Holy Spirit works in us. So we want to thank You for this. As we look at this morning at some of Your scriptures that You gave to us to read, Lord, there's some real startling statements that You make that almost bring us to a place of staggering, because they're so, so profound, so sharp. We are understanding that Your word is alive, it's active, it penetrates, nothing is hidden. And so we embrace Your pruning, and that because it's good for us, it's good for us to be able to truly become more fruitful and really reveal who You really are to this world. And this we ask through You, Jesus Christ, our great intercessor. Amen. Amen. I want to go back to John 15 for those that are, just to catch up a little bit. We're looking at that vine and the branches, and that's why the pruning is what we've been looking at. And we see over there that Jesus says over here, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So again, the context here is not dealing with about salvation kind of thing. It's speaking about we have received the word, the disciples received, the disciples believed, the disciples took the word in, and they were responding to that word. And Jesus says, you are already clean because you believe what I've spoken to you, what the Father has shared about who I am, you believe. So you're already clean. But now He goes on, and He's speaking now to us who are children of God, who have received Christ, who are clean. And He says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in Me. That's quite a statement that He makes. See, there's no 10 steps to get into remaining in Jesus. When we believe, we are in Him. But He says we need to remain in Him. That's the key over here. So it's not a program, how am I going to get to remain in Jesus? When we believe in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into Christ Jesus, and we are in Him, new creation in Christ Jesus. Now He speaks about you and I as children of God. He says, now remain in Me. And that's what we are busy looking at. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time just looking at what Jesus refers to, what it means to remain in Him. Okay, and we want to have a look at that there. So if He says, now remain in Me, it's a command. So when He gives a command, there's an aspect of obedience that is necessary for you and I. So we can disobey God, and when we disobey God, we are moving out of the reality of remaining in Him, not losing our salvation, but we are not living in the reality of the life of the Spirit of God. We're not living in the reality of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If we walk in step with the Holy Spirit, we will not satisfy the fallen nature. Okay. It's about the remaining in Him so that we bear much fruit. So he goes on and he says over here, remain in me and I will remain in you. Fascinating words that he says here. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not, so we can be believers and we can replace Jesus with programs. We can replace Jesus with our own, whatever it may be. And it won't be the fruit that glorifies God. So he's wanting us to know the reality of what it is to remain in his love, to abide in his love, to abide in his truth, to allow the law of the Spirit of life to be a reality in our lives. He wants us to understand the joy of having died with him, been raised with him into this new life in Christ Jesus. He wants us to live continually in the reality. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. He wants us to live in the reality when Peter writes said that you now begin to participate in his divine nature. He wants us to live in that reality. See, and that's what Jesus is referring, and the apostles are just describing something that Jesus was speaking to here, to his disciples, to you and I here in John 15. And he goes on and he says, I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And we looked at that last Sunday and the previous Sunday. This is my Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And we sort of stopped over there on Sunday because we see something profound that Jesus is saying. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing, proving, displaying that you are my disciples. That first song, if we had to write that song, we will not say that by our, as we won't use the word Christians, as we love one another as Christians, the people will know that we are Christians by love. The people know that we are Christians. We would rather say, as we love one another as disciples of Jesus, people will know that we are truly the disciples of Jesus. And we would rather use that word disciples than word Christian, because Christian today has not got a good name to it. But a disciple of Jesus is different, because it's speaking about someone who's abiding in him, someone is learning from Jesus and following our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Now, you might be like me and I ask myself, but Father, why do you want your glory to be revealed? You're not vain. You are self-sufficient. Why do you want your glory to be revealed through us as the believers, as your disciples, as disciples of Jesus? And just as a basic introduction to glory. And there's enough here for you and I to work through. There's enough here for you and I to be able to grasp and to begin to step into it, to grow into it. When we use that word glory, although it's referring to the honor and the due that goes to God, but the word glory is really speaking about the physical, the tangible manifestation of God's presence. So this is to God's glory that we bear much fruit. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. God's will is for all to be saved. So now as we as disciples, as we now are abiding in him and us and the reality of whatever we desire, because our desires are one with God now, and we're asking this, he's doing what we've asked over there, we are becoming more fruitful. The fruit is the fruit of Christ. It's his fruit that's being displayed through us. So the fruit is a reality of what Christ did on the cross. It's who he is. The fruit is everything about the victory of Jesus Christ. That now, by the Holy Spirit's anointing power through us, it starts to be displayed. The fruit is a reality that the power of sin is no longer our reality. We're no longer slaves to sin. Sin is dead to us now, but we are slaves to righteousness. The proof of us abiding and his word abiding in us and whatever we're asking is that we as believers, we are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. See, all of this is part so that the world now can have an experience of the manifest presence of God in us, because Emmanuel, God with us, dwells within us. See, this is the evidence, this is the proof, and this is what brings the Father tremendous glory, because people are experiencing to know who the real God is. And now the Holy Spirit is busy revealing to the people that we are involved with there, they are busy experiencing the tangible manifestation of God dwelling within us by the Holy Spirit. That's the testimony. That's what gives the people a real understanding of the real God. And the Holy Spirit starts to draw them to Jesus Christ, and we can share the gospel. So that's why we have that incredible new covenant ministry where we write on the hearts of people by the Spirit of God. We are the letter of God, so people can read us. Okay, that's all then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you want to spend some more time over there. So Jesus, as we looked at last week, Jesus is living. He's showing us, he's giving us an example of what abiding in him and he in us is all about. When we go back to chapter 14, as I shared last Sunday, where Jesus is sharing with the disciples, listen, I am abiding in my Father, he's abiding within me. The works that you see, the evidence, the manifest presence of God, is seen through the evidence of the works that I'm doing. My life, the works, the miracles, the teaching, the way I operate, everything about my life, the evidence that God is, my Father is within me, is seen. Believe in the evidence. The world needs to see the evidence. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, so they can see the evidence that God is real. Okay, not a religious God, not a dead God, not an intellectual God, but a living God, because he's alive within us. And we are now growing into abiding and learning more how to become more fruitful. And so he shares it. A good example of this is in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus taught us to pray, and he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus is living out that prayer. My Father in heaven, let your name be glorified. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth. Let it bear fruit through my life as I walk in obedience with you. See, that's the reality of the prayer. So this abiding is that prayer of our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's a manifestation of what Jesus is speaking about over here. In Galatians chapter 5, we often looked at the scripture, but just have a look at this scripture here. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Remain in my love." Remain in me. This is what Paul is now describing, what Jesus speaks about over there. Stand firm, remain in him. Do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. The moment we go into all kinds of activities to try and to DIY our lives and improve our quality of our lives by our own efforts over there, we're bypassing what Christ has done. We're bypassing the power of his resurrected life. And what is taking place? We're no longer remaining in the reality of being in Christ. And so Paul writes here, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, because I am the life that enables you to be fruitful. Christ will have no value if we go back into the legalistic law and trying to do our own thing and have a program. You know, just something to think about. When John is writing in 1 John and in chapter 2, and he's speaking about the reality of the spirit of the Antichrist, he's not speaking about the Antichrist that's going to come, but the spirit of the Antichrist. And he starts to speak about that. And most of the time we think that anti means the opposite to Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't. The Antichrist means that who is opposing Christ Jesus. That's one aspect of that word. The other aspect of that word, anti, is replacing, replacement. And so a lot of the activities is anti-Christ, because it's replacing abiding in him. It's replacing Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, as the head of the church. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. So that's why we have to be very careful. And he says, but you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to teach you these things. Because by the Spirit we say, Abba, Father. By the Spirit we can say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's important to understand. Anything that's trying to replace Christ in our lives, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's operating in the world from the time when John said it's a year already in the world. It's in the world. Okay? It's been ever since over there. And so many religions will say Jesus is a great, beautiful prophet. Wow. But he is not the Son of God. He is not Emmanuel, God with us. He's not God in the flesh. You see, anti. Replace Jesus with just a good prophet. Very important to understand, because it's easy to get deceived, but we have the Spirit that guides us. If you're abiding in him and he in us, we have the Holy Spirit to lead us and to teach us and to enable us to know what is true and what is not true. And he says over here, again, I declare every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You are trying to be justified by the law. You have been alienated. He's speaking to believers. You have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope for. For in Christ Jesus, he carries on over there. So you can see it in abiding. Part of that abiding is we need to stay in the grace that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can move out of that grace in our own human effort, and we are bypassing. We're not remaining in the life. We're not remaining in the grace. Christ has no benefit to us anymore. And it's believers that he's speaking to. Okay, it's so easy for us to move out and into legalistic laws and things like that. So we could have the most incredible, church managerial system operating, that everything functions so beautifully. Everything is awesome. Things are happening. But is Christ here? Has that replaced walking in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? Has that replaced the grace and truth that comes through Jesus Christ, him alone? See, it's very easy to replace our Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit of the Antichrist. That's why it's important, as we think about the way forwards, we must be careful. We're not replacing anything, but we're staying in line with our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's something to think about in our lives. So easy to replace. Okay, so in verse 9, and back into John 15, verse 9, Jesus says now, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Again, He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to those disciples that are already clean. He's speaking to you and I that are clean because we received Christ, washed in His blood, new creation in Christ Jesus. And then He says, now, remain in My love. In other words, we can remove ourselves from living in the reality of being loved by God. So the question here we have is, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. The same love that the Father loved His Son is the same love that Jesus loves you and I. Have you ever stopped? And have you ever began to ask, but Lord Jesus, show me the evidence. How did you live? Showing. What is the tangible evidence of your life that proves that the Father loves you? That'll be a good exercise to start looking. Let me see. God, you love you, Jesus. But let's stop and ask ourselves, let's look at the tangible evidence of how Jesus lived that demonstrates the manifest presence of the Father's love for His Son, Jesus Christ. Because that's the same love that He has for you and I. What is the evidence? So when we start to look at the evidence of Christ and the reality of living loved by His Father and Him loving His Father, you see, Jesus is again modeling something because later on in 1 John chapter 4 verse 17, John writes, we love because God first loved us. Jesus is modeling as a man, as a Father has loved me, so I love you. Same. That's huge because now, as God loves us, so we love one another. Look at the life of Jesus. Do we see Jesus captured by the world? He lived loved. Do we see Jesus captured by fear? He lived loved. Do you see Jesus captured by culture, tradition, by whatever? He lived loved. Do you see Jesus fearful about His future? He lived loved. With the joy He went to the cross. Do you see Jesus there panicking when people called Him names? And He lived loved. Do you see Jesus all falling apart when He's rejected? He lived loved. And then we start this, you can go on and on and on and on and on. But it's important to look at our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author, the founder, the pioneer of our faith. We look at Him. And that inspires us because He loves us just the same as the Father loved Him. So He's showing us our journey of growth. He's showing us this is what I'm moving you to. This is why you're getting pruned by My Father. So that as I lived, likewise you will now be able to grow into more and more of living in such a place that the world doesn't mold you and capture you. Fear is not your enemy anymore. You've overcome fear. And we start to see something profound taking place over here. And so He says over here, so now, remain in My love. Jesus always remained in His Father's love. All the time. There was never, commentator uses a little illustration and he shares over here that the sun is shining and you have the faintest cloud blocking the sun rays and all of a sudden you feel the thinnest cloud starts to dampen that sunlight onto your skin. That's what happens when we start to disobey God. One little disobedience and all of a sudden that love that's being poured into our and shining in the reality, it feels like there's this dampening taking place. Jesus never, 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 never once disobeyed his father. He continually lived in the reality of being loved by his father because he always obeyed his father. Now the key in that is that when he's coming to the end of his life and he says to the disciples, listen, the prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold over me because I always obey my father. You'll see how important that statement of Jesus is now. He says to the disciples there in John 16 in verse 33, he says over there, in this world you're going to have problems. You're going to have a lot of hassles in this world. But take heart. Find peace in me because I have overcome this world. He lived loved. He obeyed his father. He loved his father. He lived loved. Satan had no hold over him. He lived loved. He has overcome the world. The world could not capture him. He lived loved. Now where are we? When we are abiding in him, when we are abiding in his love, when we are abiding in him and his word is abiding in us, more and more, this becomes our reality. So, keep in step with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, we will not gratify. Can you see that growth journey for us? Now I'm going to share something that is almost like going to be a slap from the hand of God, so that we realize something over here. I tell you, some of the scriptures, they're not pleasant for us, but it's our growth that is showing us so that we, wow, okay, I realize now there's growth there. I've been stagnant. I realize it's time. I need to become fruitful. Please prune me, Father. See, that's where we are as a body of Christ. So here in 1 John, chapter 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Okay, remember Jesus is his earthly name. He's a Jew, he's a man, he's living, his mother's Mary, his earthly father is Joseph. And so when everybody looks at Jesus, they see him as a man. But unless the Father gives revelation, they will never see him as the Son of God. Only by the Holy Spirit. So anyone that can look at the man Jesus Christ and realize, but this is Emmanuel, this is God in the flesh here, this is the Son of God, is born of the Spirit of God. That's because that's the Father's revelation to you and I to be able to believe. So when we share the gospel, what takes place? People get a revelation, but Jesus is truly the Son of God. That's the revelation. And they believe that they get born again. They are born of the Father. They're fathered by God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. It's not the child Jesus. This is the believers. So everyone who loves the Father loves the children of God as well. Okay? Now listen to this. This is how we know that we love the children of God. How do we know that we love one another? By loving God and carrying out his commands. If I'm not obedient, I don't love you. If you're not obedient, you don't love me. If you're not obedient, if we're not obedient, we don't love one another. This is how real this is. This is how we know that we love God. By our obedience. And by our obedience, we begin to know that we love one another. Let's have a marriage counseling session. Your spouse is a believer. Our spouses are a believer. How do I know I love my spouse? You see, I know in my total surrender to God, in obedience to him. So do you love me? Are you obedient? Do I love you? Am I obedient to God? Oh. See, and this is the shaking. This is the word that's alive and active that pierces and prunes and exposes. And there's now come, let's go higher. So this is not condemnation. This is to enable us to say, you're showing us, Lord, we want to grow more into the fullness of this love. And I want to thank you that you're showing us as we love you and we obey you, we're going to love one another even more than we're loving one another now. And all of a sudden, by Jesus saying, by this new commandment I give unto you that love one another that loved you, then all the people will know that you are my disciples. Fruitfulness. So how do we become more fruitful? What's abiding in Christ all about? His word abiding in us. The obedience to his word, it's in relationship with him, it's sharing with him in fellowship, participating in this incredible divine nature by the Spirit of God. All of these kind of things. We love him, we obey him, we listen to him. And what takes place? Our love for one another increases. So, looking forward to increased love. I hope you are. I am. Because I realize that this is, there's so much more to grow into you. Because I want to love my wife even more than what I love her now. As I just learn to obey you and step in you and walk in your ways and love you with all my heart. I want to love you guys more than I've ever loved before. You're showing us the way to increase, to grow. So in Philippians chapter 1, in the prayer that Paul prays for the Philippians, that's what it is. You love one another, but I'm asking God that your love may increase more and more. That's fruitfulness. And by this, Sasselberg, by this, South Africa will know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. By this, the Father's manifest presence, who he really is, God is love, is revealed, that people can experience the real God and not a story. People get born again. People get saved. So, should we cross the scripture out? Let's carry on. This is how we know that we love the children of God. How do we know that we love one another? By loving God and carrying out his commandments. And this is the love for God, to obey his commands. As Jesus obeyed his Father, so we obey. Obedience, again, remember, it's not this outward obeying because I'm fear of consequences. This is an inward desire by the Spirit. We're participating in Christ's obedience. We're participating in his life. We are participating in the incredible joy of, by the Spirit, has the same desires as the Father. We are able to obey because, let's have a look, and his commands are not burdensome. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Jesus says, fear not, because I have overcome this world. He says, the prince of this air comes, got no hold over me, because I've been totally obedient to my Father. He has no hold. I've overcome him. He's the prince of this world. I've overcome this world. He died so that you and I could overcome the power of sin. He died so that you and I could overcome the power of death. He died so that we could overcome this world. And as we abide in him, that is part of the fruit that we begin to live in. So again, how do we know that we are abiding in him? Well, what's captured us? What's captured us? Is the fear of lack captured us? Is the fear of loneliness captured us? Is the fear of whatever it may be, is it captured us? Is the opinions of people captured us? And we know, God, there's a growth journey for me. I don't know yet how to abide in your love because I realize these are real things. I'm not denying this is real. Being honest, I'm captured. I'm captured by these things. So I've got time to grow. I've got to grow in the reality of being loved by you. I've got to grow in the fruit that you overcame, that I can also live in the reality of you overcoming. He carries on and he says over here, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Simple as that. By this incredible gift of faith God gives to you and I in Jesus Christ, we have been raised with him. What he has done becomes our reality. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll conclude with this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, where we see there that Peter writes about our participation in the divine nature, he says over here, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power, how do we overcome? Abiding in him, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called you by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of this world caused by evil desires. Overcoming. So as we conclude this morning, we have the communion here this morning. It's such an incredible time for you and I to be able to just realize, but Lord Jesus, this is what you've done so that we could now participate. This divine nature, the participation in his divine nature is not us participating, it's not us becoming God. We are we. God is God. But it's us now beginning to have fellowship. It's us now beginning to participate, to share in the reality of what Christ has done in breaking the power of sin, breaking that power of death. It's for us to learn to grow into participating in the reality of the life of the Spirit that's operating within us. And it's about you and I becoming free of the desire, free of being captured by the world system, free of being captured by all the things that we know has captured us if we're honest with ourselves. But we see there's a way out by faith in believing what Christ has done. It's Paul puts it this other way, that we've died with Christ. Sin is no longer our master. We've died with him. We've been raised with him. A new creation in Christ Jesus. This is the participation that Peter is speaking about. This is how we overcome, by our faith in him and what he has done for you and I. And the communion is that kind of moment where, again, we can just receive, we can appreciate, we can, by faith, take in what Christ has done. You know, I think all different churches have different things, and for many, oh, this is just symbolic. It's symbolic if there's no faith. But it's a fellowship with our Lord Jesus. He's present over here. And it's celebrating his life. And it's celebrating by faith. Lord, your blood has done this for me. Your resurrected body has brought me into a new way of living. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So it's a sharing. It's a fellowship with God. It's a fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a fellowship with one another. It's a fellowship with all the saints that have passed on. It's a fellowship. We've overcome. So, as we love one another, the world will know that we are the disciples of Jesus. And we know how to, the way forwards in growing in this area. Let's learn by the power of the Holy Spirit to be obedient to the commands of Jesus, what he says. Let's learn, as we look at the life of Christ, how did he model living love by the Father? Show me, Holy Spirit, the areas of my life that are still captured by fear or anxiety or doubt, whatever it may be, because I want to grow in the reality of knowing love. And that means I'm going to need to obey God somewhere along the line. What is he saying? It's going to require you and I to be obedient to what he's saying. Without the obedience, we will not know the reality of living loved by God. If we don't know living loved, it's simply because we are disobedient. Ouch! Truth. Truth. Bottom line. People come for counseling all over. They come to you in your circles of friends. They come to you as Christians and they will say this, they will say that, they will say this. And woe, 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 woe. Just ask him, what has Christ spoken to you in your quiet time this morning? Are you obedient to that? No. What has he shared in the past month with you? Have you been obedient to what the Spirit has spoken to you about? No. Start getting obedient and you'll see, you'll start living loved by the Father and you'll start to see overcome, become a reality. So, now you know how to disciple your friends. Amen. Father, thank you again for the celebration, the joy of being together with you. Lord, you're taking us deeper. You're calling us higher. You're calling us deeper into the reality of living loved by you. And sometimes this can be uncomfortable, but it's life-giving. Lord, this town is going to start to see the tangible evidence, far greater, the fruitfulness of us being obedient to you. It will become so much more in the reality of the way we love one another, and the evidence and the fruit of that is profound. So we thank you as you're leading us, as Lord, you are our teacher, we are your disciples, and you're discipling us how to live as children of God. So we thank you for the grace that you have released. Truth and grace comes from you, and we receive that. Lord, there's something profound about your sacrifice, the atonement, not just for us who believe, but for the whole world. And Lord, to know that we can come and we can sit into the reality as we have communion in the life-giving fact of atonement. We ask again that what you shared some time back will be refreshed in us, that we understand more and more of your love for us on the cross. Father, that we can grasp and grow in the reality that you are in your Son reconciling the world back to yourself, and you've given us a ministry and the message of reconciliation. And we thank you. Father, you shared that it's a love. It's love that compels us. It's love that energizes us. It's a love that puts us into an action, into the obedience aspect. Without love, we won't be obedient. It'll just be something else. But we want to thank you that this love inspires us to follow you, to obey you, to walk with you. So Lord, teach us now more and help us, Holy Spirit, to abide in this love, to know this, the same love, Jesus, that you, Father, had for you, the same love that you have for us. It's the same love, Father, you have for us as well. What a privilege. It's the same love, Holy Spirit, that you have for us. And we thank you. I'm asking that this will be tangible. I'm asking that we'll have divine love encounters day after day after day and just know the joy of living loved by you, Father, as we obey your Son, Jesus Christ. Keep your commandments. And this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.